Hello, I'm Michaelyn Hoffman, and I had the privilege of working on these coffee farms in northern Thailand. So raise your hand if you had a wonderful cup of coffee this morning. And keep your hand raised if you're considering how those specific farmers supplemented their soil. So I had the privilege of thinking about this question for about 2 years. So today we're going to go over the background of how I ended up doing composting in northern Thailand, materials and methods for what specific pile we ended up using, the results of these piles, and then the conclusion and implications of this system. So I'm part of an organization called Engineers Without Borders. I'm studying industrial engineering, so not your typical crowd here. We work with communities who are in developing countries to help them meet their basic needs. And this particular community asked us to help them explore ways to supplement their soil aside from the synthetic fertilizer that they're currently using. And here is pictured the headman, Sintop, of our community, Mation Thai, with his coffee tree on his coffee farm. So you can see where the star is. Mation Thai is located in very northern Thailand, near the Burmese border. So our objective as a team was to research what kind of systems are out there for composting, assess Mation Thai's current situation to figure out which system was best for them, design a system that met their needs and requirements, prototype a system at Cal Poly, implement a pilot project in Mation Thai, and then monitor the system afterwards. So we first looked into 6 different composting methods, including vermicompost and turd windrows. We identified the available feedstocks for our community, which ended up being rice straw and cow manure, as well as in the bottom picture, you can see these are coffee cherries, and the red outside pulp is their most common byproduct that they have, and they wanted to be able to incorporate that into their composting systems. And we worked with Mr. Tirpong Sawang Penayangkura at Meizhou University in Chiang Mai, which is the closest city. And he's actually researching static piles and how to implement them in local rural farms. And we ended up using Mr. Sawang Penayangkura's system, which is a static pile. In the fall of 2013, we traveled to Mation Thai and did an assessment trip. We conducted household surveys to determine what the level of excitement was with the community for this system. We took soil samples on their farms, and we hosted a workshop where we made a mud diorama of our composting system to demonstrate the layering technique for the static pile. So the layering system is 2 options, which we both explored. One was recipe A, with 4 units of corn stalks or rice straw to 1 layer of cow manure. And then recipe B was replacing one of those layers of corn stalks or rice straw with those coffee cherries that the community wished to utilize in their pile. The triangular shape of the pile increases the aeration of the system, and the layering allows the feedstocks to mix without turning and also allows for proper aerobic digestion or aerobic decomposition. And it is desired a 25:1 carbon to nitrogen ratio and a 55 degrees Celsius or higher internal temperature for at least 13 days to ensure that the pathogens are killed. So when we returned from Mation Thai, we did a prototype at Cal Poly at the composting unit. And we were able to use corn stalks because rice straw wasn't as readily available to us. And then we did the layering system. For every layer that you do, you water it, and then continue that until the pile is completed. For the following 7 weeks, we monitored and maintained the pile. And that included every day we would go out and water the external layer of the compost and take internal temperature readings. And then every 10 days, we would take a large pole, like or a stick, as you see in the middle picture, poke holes inside the pile, and then fill the holes with water so that the internal temperature or internal bit of the compost could stay moist and continue to decompose aerobically. Then every week, we would take pH levels to monitor what was going on inside the pile. So here is the temperature graph for the pile as it decomposed for those 7 weeks. The first 4.5 weeks were spent in the thermophilic phase, which indicates a particular presence of organisms that help with the decomposition process. and our pile was able to stay above 55 degrees Celsius for 16 days, which surpasses the 13 days requirement. And then after about 4.5 weeks, it dipped down into the mesophilic stage as it finished decomposing. And after the pile decomposed, we took samples from the finished compost as well as the two feedstocks, the corn stalks and the cow manure, to a lab to get tested. All of them were near the ideal pH range, and our finished compost was the closest to that at about 8. We also sampled for the electrical conductivity, and as the pile decomposed, it became less salty. However, it does fall above almost twice the ideal range. And the total nitrogen and phosphorus increased from the corn stalks and cow manure into the finished compost, and there was a slight decrease for the total potassium. And then after our pilot system, we understood better how the composting entire process worked, and we implemented 2 pilot piles in Meishan Thai. So like I talked about earlier, we had the 2 recipes. We knew that the pile with just the straw and the cow manure was effective, because that's what Mr. Suang Panayankura had researched. And then we did our own test to see if adding the coffee cherries would still result in proper decomposition. And the main idea of these pilot systems was to transfer the knowledge of how to compost and what it really takes to do the entire process to our community. So we placed the piles at the school, which you can see in the background, so that it was accessible to all of the community members. And then for the following 2 days, we stayed in the community and helped them learn how to maintain the piles so they could take data themselves. And so this is the data that they recorded for the internal temperature of the piles. The pile without the coffee cherries stayed much hotter for much longer. That is the line in blue. And the one with the coffee cherries did not get as hot. The first pile in blue was able to stay above 55 degrees Celsius for 23 days, and the second one with the coffee cherries never reached this temperature. For the 2 piles, the pH, when we returned in June, we took the finished samples and took them back to a lab in Chiang Mai and got them sampled. The piles were both near the ideal range and slightly above it, but it was very similar to the pH we saw in our compost at Cal Poly. The electrical conductivity was much lower than our prototype at Cal Poly and did fall within the ideal range. As you might guess, the pile with the coffee cherries had higher nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium due to adding that extra nutrients in the beginning with the coffee cherries. And because the pile with the coffee cherries did not get to that 55 degrees Celsius, for 13 days, the total coliform count of most probable number per gram was 1,100, whereas the pile that stayed hot for 23 days was only 100 most probable number per gram. So this is our community with our 2 finished piles. And the result was that the technology was appropriate. They were able to use all local materials in order to construct the piles. However, the most difficult aspects were the time that it took to maintain it every day, feedstock procurement because they don't have livestock in their community, they had to go nearby to get the manure, and watering while it was easy at the school because there was a spigot nearby. If they were to reproduce this on their own farms, they don't have hoses normally accessible. Becoming organically certified in Thailand is expensive, especially for their current wages, and so that was another difficulty. It was an overall failed adaptation into their daily farming practices because of the time and the feedstock procurement. But however, we did complete the knowledge transfer and gave them the own means to make an informed decision of if this technology was appropriate to adapt into their daily lives. Are there any questions? Yeah. Pre-compost. So the feedstocks ideally would be 25:1.
What do you get post-compost?
Post-compost, it ended up being 12:1, and I don't know what the actual ideal range of that is. Thank you so much.